Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. We've been talking about the idea of better than compromise, and it can feel like a long uphill road. How do we start this journey? How do we sustain it? Here's Greg Meyer.
I don't know if you get the Minneapolis daily newspaper delivered to your house or not, but if you're like me and you went out on your front step this morning to pick up the Star Tribune and took a look at the front page, you found what I found. There was an article about all of the four big controversial issues right now. There's a front page article about the Trump administration contesting election results. There is one about the friction over government responses to the pandemic. There was one about the fallout from the murder of George Floyd and the continued racial injustice going on. And there was one relating to climate change. Each one either spoke to or reflected how divided we are in issues that people on both sides often see as do or die. Now, the exasperation you may be experiencing of trying to make headway on issues that are near and dear to you, it may be wearing you down or hardening your resolve. I don't know. But what it's very unlikely to be doing is driving you to reach out to connect with, understand, and respect those that you disagree with. I mean, everything is driving us away from each other. But that is a dream, right? Connecting, understanding, and respecting each other? I mean, after all, we are the United States of America. We aren't the many states of America. About a half a year before the last election back in 2016, we felt this deep division coming. We knew it wasn't going to go away no matter who won. So we wondered about how we could deal with this underlying dis-ease among us. And Better Than Compromise was born. While we wouldn't have thought it possible at the time, 4 years later in 2020, the same feelings are still here, more intense and fueled by more issues. So we're reprising what was true then, and it's still true today, and probably always will be. Better Than Compromise doesn't need to be replaced. It needs practice. So we're practicing. If you haven't been a part of this podcast series, I hope you go back to its start on October 29 and catch up. But briefly, here's what this is all about. We live in a world that is mostly all about win-lose. That's how we see the election. We win it or we lose it. Of course, you might be thinking, isn't that how it works? I mean, well, it doesn't have to be. It hasn't always been that way. We could see ourselves all weighing in on the candidate that we feel was best suited. And then we take the one who wins and use them to move forward as a nation together. Oh yeah, we do that, but we still lost, you might be thinking. And the one who won is only against us, so it's just a waiting game until we can win and further our agenda. Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's just win-lose talking. Here's something you know in your gut already, and I'm gonna say it out loud anyway. Win-lose is lose-win for the other side. And since that disenfranchises the loser, their only recourse is to work to win next time so you lose. And, well, win-lose turns into lose-lose every time, sooner or later. The alternative is compromise, of course. That avoids winners and losers, doesn't it? Unfortunately, in this climate of win-lose, both sides tend to see compromise as lose. Maybe unavoidable losing, but losing nonetheless. Compromise promises less than either side wanted. And when we have ratcheted up every issue to this do-or-die status in our minds, even compromise is such a giving in on something uncompromisable that compromise is equal to moral failure. So what's left? Well, you know what none of those approaches sees? The other. They only see the issues. They miss that the people who hold the opposing views and further opposing causes are also people. People who wake up and search for meaning in their lives, who eat food and enjoy it, raise their children and hug and kiss them when they put them to bed, who smile when they watch the sunset. People worthy of respect, not because of what they believe or what they're trying to do, but because they are people, just like you are. So what's left? Better Than Compromise is left. And that's what we're talking about this whole month long. Better Than Compromise is that possibility that is new, it's surprising, it's uniting, it's eye-popping. Better Than Compromise can't happen without all of us. It doesn't belong to any one person or group or party. It is a creation from the melding of the many. And perhaps most importantly of all, Better Than Compromise only happens when you are willing to believe that something better than you or any of your unlikely allies thinks is possible. So we've been talking about better than compromise for several weeks already. Today we're looking at the journey towards it. Let's join that conversation from back in 2016.
In week one, I talked about three commitments that I have personally about this, and then I can't say that you should all accept these, but I do want you to wrestle with them. And the first is that better than compromise is always possible. It's always possible. It doesn't always happen. I know that. In fact, it probably doesn't happen very often, but it's always possible. The second commitment about it is that it requires the third strand, that God strand, that transcendent element. It's not just ourself, it's not just ourself with others, but it's that third strand that needs to get woven in there. And I think how that happens, and I'm not talking about like God just magically, you know, well, we remembered to pray, and so God zapped us with this, you know, great insight. What it really is talking about is when I open up to you in this kind of relationship that we're talking about with better than compromise, I not only open myself to you and you open yourself to me, but we open ourselves to something that is deeper than us. We get in touch with something that is beyond our own ideas and beyond just our narrow way of understanding the world, and we start participating in this deeper texture of humanity, and amazing things happen that we did not see coming. The third commitment that I shared is that better than compromise requires a deep-seated humility. It's the kind of humility that you can't demand of another person. They have to give willingly. And we choose to do that. We choose to be open and vulnerable that way, realizing that we are not the authors and the holders of all the answers or even all the questions. And so that kind of humility, almost a confessional stance, is there. The fourth commitment, I want to add one to that today. And it's really just an extension of that. And it really kind of is, I think, needs to be said to kind of get to the hard work of how we can do this, which is what I want to talk about today. And there's this fourth commitment is that the power of humility and the sacrifice that willingly goes along with it is greatly underestimated. It's greatly underestimated. The power of humility doesn't have the power to win. It has the power to change the game, which is what I think we're really looking for. To produce that something that is new and surprising, uniting and eye-opening. We have a tendency to think of humility as weakness, and it's not. Humility has the power not to win, it has the power to change things, to transform things. So when Jesus says things like this, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Now, why does he say stuff like that? Does he want us to be, you know, doormats to other people? I don't think so. I mean, Jesus was probably the greatest revolutionary that ever lived. He probably changed more systems than anyone else. And this is his advice. And it's because he says, I don't want you to be winners. I want you to be game changers. This is a path towards actually influencing things in ways that last, not just controlling an outcome, but of changing the game.
I want to push this for a minute. Because I know when I get faced with this idea of the transformative power of humility and sacrifice, I get stopped in my tracks by one mentally emotional roadblock after another. I feel like there just isn't time, that the other side won't listen, that they aren't playing by these rules, so it doesn't work for us too. I want to explain that you have no idea how hard I've already tried to get them to see, and more. Yeah, that, you know, it's probably all true, but that doesn't change anything really. Better than compromise doesn't want you or me to try harder. That hasn't worked in the past. Why would it work now? Jesus, our hearts, souls, and minds, they're asking us to try differently. Let me ask you a simple question. Which do you care about more, the person you disagree with or their viewpoint? If it's their viewpoint, in fact, if all you can say is that you assume you know what they're thinking, but you don't really know them, then what do you think your chance of being persuasive, let alone collaborative, with them is? It's something very important is missing. Let's go back to our conversation 4 years ago.
Here's the no-brainer in all this. Better than compromise is hard when we don't trust one another. Okay? You didn't need me to say that, but I think we need to say it, all right? It's not going to happen if we don't trust each other. Trust, as it turns out, happens to be really important for human beings. That's right. We know it, but we don't invest in it. We're not willing to do often what it takes to trust. And I think we can see it's something that's missing today in a lot of our relationships. And here's the thing behind trust. Trust is earned, it isn't given. You have to earn my trust. I don't just give it to you. I might give you a little sample to try out and see what you do with it, but I'm just going to give you enough that I know I won't get hurt too much. Now, trust is earned. So, you know, we come to questions saying, I want you to trust me, but the real question I should be saying is, what do I need to do in order to prove my trustworthiness to you? And we need to be able to go to that step and realize that, you know, we need to offer that to one another, not just wait for each other to offer it to us. Now, I want to earn trust with you. So often we're getting these relationships where there's a real lack of trust, and I'm waiting for you to trust me. And we get stuck there because we're both waiting for each other to trust the other, and neither of us are going to do it. How do you break that impasse? How do I make this person trust me? I think one of the really good questions to ask is, what would I want this person to do to me so that I would trust them? And then you flip that and say, okay, maybe that's what I need to do for them so that they would trust me. I mean, if I want trust established, I've got to maybe learn to, I need to what, prove myself to be trustworthy and begin to give that person opportunities to be trusted in order to start melting the iceberg. Let me, you know, break that down a little bit. Like, what gesture, what question, what openness would that other person need to express to me in order to let me know that I think they're actually willing to trust me? How could I then do that same thing to another person?
Let's make this personal for each of us. How could you establish that sort of trust with the person, real or symbolic, who has already popped into your head, whom you know will never trust you, and you will never trust them? Like Better Than Compromise, this kind of trust is always possible, even though it doesn't always happen. And there is a path towards it. And that path often requires stepping a long way back from the issue at hand in order to get to the person who holds it. It means you're going to need to see them, not the issue. You need to care about them before you care about their viewpoint. You need to separate your disagreement with them from your being disagreeable towards them. So play out the scenario. What would you need to see and hear from that other person to let you put your guard down and begin to trust them? Think about that. Okay. How can you let them see and hear that same stuff from you so that they might let their guard down and begin to trust you? Granted, this way at getting around to change, this isn't fast like winning, but it is the only way to bring about meaningful and lasting change.
And what's really going on here in all of this is that you are showing that you are listening to the other person. You are not waiting to be listened to anymore. You are getting out of your own frame of reference and taking on their frame of reference, perceiving what they're experiencing from their perspective, and you are responding to it. And you're doing it, and this is key, you're doing it unilaterally. You can wait, and you're perfectly right to do that. Wait for them to meet you halfway or for them to initiate, but you've been trying that for years. I mean, as a society, we've been trying that for decades, waiting for the others to come to the table. And we know how far that's gotten us. When are we going to say, I guess we have to be the first ones to the table? We're going to start behaving this way and doing that. One of the things that you run up to when you begin to do this is that you start behaving towards this person from their frame of reference rather than your frame of reference. You're going to find that doesn't change anything, right? So then you quit. Well, there's something, Stephen Covey actually talks a lot about this. He calls it the emotional bank account. He says, you know, if every person that you're in a relationship, you've got a checking account with them, right? And there's a balance in that account. And if that balance is at zero, you have very, very little leverage to do anything. If you are overdrawn in that account, you know how much leverage you have in that relationship? You know how much you have to be trusted with in that relationship? Almost nothing. Now, if you are in a lot of tension, if you have conflict with another person in your relationship, you can pretty well assume that you have a negative balance in that account. So you do some of the nice things. You behave the right way. You try to listen. You try to only, you know, be positive and not negative, and it doesn't change anything. Why? Well, you're making deposits, but guess what? You're still overdrawn. And in fact, even if you get a balance of $2 or $3 in that account, it may not be enough to overcome the suspicion and the worry and the fears that the person had in the relationship beforehand. You may need a pretty big balance. That's why you keep at it. You keep doing the right thing for the right reason. And gradually, it begins to melt hearts. It begins to be a game changer for people.
I want to break in right here and underline two things. First, this unilateral idea. I'm going to put on the line and say that if you aren't willing to put this foundational piece of better than compromise to work, and doing the right thing even when it isn't reciprocated or even acknowledged, if you aren't willing to do the work of better than compromise unilaterally, then you are not a person of faith. Now, before you get your undies in a bunch, don't worry, I'm not saying that you aren't religious. No, you can be religious and not be a person of faith. And I don't mean that you don't believe in God, because that doesn't make you a person of faith either. What I mean is that you aren't able to actualize hope. You aren't willing to let go of control to see what happens when you let something bigger than you be the force that is at work. Doing the right thing because it is the right thing means tying into how things really work rather than relying on how you can make things work or even how you already understand things work. Now, you know this is true. People respond to others, why? Because they trust them. And they trust them because they were listened to, cared for, respected for who they are, despite all the outer difficult and messy differences. Do you want to realize, do you hope for a better than compromise world? Then do what works, not what feels fair or gives you credit. Start building the bridge of trust from your side of the divide. Even if it's all your effort that gets it all the way across, you still have a bridge that crosses the divide. Okay, that's the unilateral thing. There's also that bothersome emotional bank account thing. So convenient, yet so true and unavoidable. Folks, we have decades, we've got generations of misunderstanding, ill will, and win-lose between our divergent sectors of society. We are so overdrawn in our accounts with one another that doing the right thing will move us in the right direction, but you're likely to not be able to see any movement yourself. Don't quit. Don't give up. We need to be prepared for persistence over much longer periods of time than we would like. And we can't get discouraged while we try and try and try again. That's why we do this together, right? So when you have decided to be curious about that other person, not just oppose what they think or do, how will you do it?
The path to building trust on this journey to better than compromise is listening. It's listening. Now, there's a couple of kinds of listening. We all know the top kind, ignoring. Really not listening, is it? The other one is pretend listening. Selective listening, I'm listening for what I want to hear. Attentive listening, it's a good thing. You're actually paying attention here. And then the last is empathetic listening. You're really listening for the person that's behind that. Now, there's a distinction between the first four and the last one. And the first four, you know, they kind of proceed in being more authentically there, more true to the person. But the first four really are all coming from your frame of reference. Only the last is really coming from that person's frame of reference. You have set yourself aside and your needs, your expectations, and you're really listening for that person. You're not just listening to the words, you're listening to what they're saying. You're listening to who the person is behind that. And that's an important distinction for us. And you know, really what it does is empathetic listening, this deep, deep listening that we can do with each other, it's so hard to get to, but it's so important. And what it does is it gives us this glimpse into our common humanity. It helps us see below all those surface levels that we were talking about last week, all the distractions of the things that we think, our opinions, our attitudes, some of our actions, our connections out in the world and things like that. And it gets past all those things, which can be so differentiating, so polarizing among us, to begin to see the real person underneath, a place where we have so much in common. And listening to learn, this empathetic listening, with someone that you disagree with, takes practice. It takes a lot of practice.
Thanksgiving is a couple weeks away. Granted, we won't be having the big extended family or friend festivities, or at least we shouldn't be. And folks, please don't COVID-19 is not made up. People are dying. Hospitals are filling up. Health workers and other workers we depend on have no choice but to deal with this pandemic, no matter how hard we make it for them. Restaurant and other event-based businesses, they need us to do our part so that we can be healthy and things can get rolling again when it's ready. Okay? I digress, but meaningfully. So, you won't be having those big holiday meals and get stuck with cousin Louie, with Uncle Herbert, with sister whoever, whose opinions you have no tolerance for. But you will be in touch, right? And in fact, people will be expecting you to reach out and to be in touch. So do. Practice. Figure out an honest question that comes from your curiosity and lets them know you're interested in them, and ask it. Then listen. Ask for more details, for clarification, but not justification, okay? Repeat back what they're telling you so that they know you heard what they said and what they meant. Don't take the bait on any jabs. Remember, they probably didn't prepare for this conversation like you did. So breathe, calm yourself, and thank them for the conversation. Is that so hard? Okay, I admit it is hard. But hey, you do hard things, right? I do hard things too. We can do this. Try it and learn. Make your heart a little bigger. This listening to understand, not to be understood, it changes things.
Let me share a story about the journey to better than compromise that was initiated by one person in the relationship. This is told from the perspective of the person who was caught off guard by it. "I don't know when it started," he says, "but we were both resenting the schedules and demands we had for each other. It was like we were both trying to control the other, but neither of us saw this from the other person's perspective. It was just the other person trying to win and forcing me to lose. Things changed when she started listening to me and asking me all sorts of questions about what I was trying to get done and how I felt about it. She helped me find ways to work things out without ever telling me what she needed. Pretty soon, I couldn't help start asking her the same things. It was really a pretty short time, and we were both focused on helping each other out. We had new ideas, support, and a shared job, not two separate ones that had to compete for attention. Boy, life is easier and better. I love her instead of resent her now." Folks, listening changes things. Listening is the power for transformation, power for change. This is the power of humility and of sacrifice. A very counterintuitive idea, but that when we see it at work, we know it's true. There's something inside of us, something deep inside of us that resonates with it and realizes that the win that it makes is better than the win-lose-win. It's the one that actually matters. It's the one Jesus was about. So when the Bible gets all theological, trying to understand what Jesus is all about, it sums it up. There's this passage in the second chapter of Philippians. It says, "The Christ, though he had the form of God," in other words, he could win anytime he wanted, "he did not consider equality with God as something to exploit, and instead emptied himself and took the form of a servant." It's because he didn't want to win. He wanted to change things. He wanted a new game to be played. Now, an observation and a caveat about that. The observation is that we all want this to be happening on the national scene. We want Congress to behave this way. We want our politicians to behave this way. We want our political parties to behave this way. And they don't. Why not? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but I think one of the big reasons is because we don't. And we put a lot of pressure on them to behave the way that we do, because that's what we reward. There are a lot of leaders out there who are trying to show a different direction. They are trying to be the person who listens to the other side, who tries to get people together and find broader solutions to questions that we don't even understand yet. But guess what? We don't let them do it because we want answers now. We want results, not idealism. And we want it now. The change needs to start with us. We need to be the people who are exercising these skills individually, because until we do, we will never be able to exercise them corporately. So there are ways for it to be happening on a grander scale, and that's great. I hope that keeps going and we can keep putting pressure on that. But the job is ours. when we start listening to each other, and not just to each other in this room, but to each other in this world, and start expanding the ripples of this better than compromise way of life, then we can expect people at the top to be able to do the same thing as well. Now, that's the observation. Here's the caveat. This is one of the most difficult things for us in a complicated world today where there is a lot of injustice. I mean, are we really supposed to just be listening to our enemies when our enemies are really doing hurtful things to our neighbors or maybe even to us? Do we just stand by the side and say, yeah, while you're beating up on him, could you tell me how you feel? You know? No, all right? I mean, there's a delicate balance. I wish I could tell you, like, when is just the time to listen? When is the time to be empathetic? And when is the time to stand up and speak? There isn't a rule, but I think probably both need to happen at the same time. But we need to do it in ways that respect the dignity of the person while we express our differences. And I think it's important for the person who we do disagree with and perhaps is doing things that are abusive or full of injustice that they hear what we believe and why we believe it, because that is perhaps, in many cases, something that they will respect. They are not looking for us to be doormats either. You know, again, going back to Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus knew this was the path to better than compromise. He isn't advocating us being doormats. He's saying this is a way that you can be influenced. But Jesus also, many times, did say the words that need to be spoken. He took stands and he defied people when he needed to. But he continued to try to show dignity and respect rather than the opposite of it. And it takes this kind of courage and humility and sacrifice to escape the win-lose and to move beyond compromise. But it's also, like I said, an act of love and respect to stand up for what we believe in, to stand up for the person who is hurting, who needs our words, who needs our advocacy. So if you hear me saying to the Black Lives Matter protesters, quit protesting and listen to those police officers, they're hurting too, you know. No, I'm not saying that, okay? Or to the abused wife, the problem is that you never really deeply listen to your husband. You know, no, I am not saying that either. When you are confronted with stuff that you cannot accept and believe, or and that brings hurt or injustice, and I think there are ways of confronting that, but that do not shut doors, but opens doors. So rather than just shouting, you are wrong, how about saying, I really can't agree with you on that. It's important to say that. But I really want to understand why you are doing what you're doing, why you believe what you believe so that you are doing what you're doing. We need to get to that level of conversation. Instead of just calling someone a name and asking them how in the world, you know, do they think they could treat someone like that, I think it's important for us to talk about, you can't treat me like that. You can't treat that person like that. We're trying to build a world that has room for you and your children in it. Can you not help us build a world that has room for me and mine as well? So it isn't that it is wrong to simply stop injustice. The truth is, it just isn't enough to simply stop injustice because it will continue to come up. What we need to do is heal the hurt behind injustice. That is where we are called. That is what the world is trying to get us to do. When we do that, when we begin to heal those places of injustice, we will find that we begin to heal ourselves as well. Because whether we think we were right or better off than the person that we are talking with, we're going to realize that we have places that we need to grow and we need to change as well.
4 years later, those words ring my ears around issues that I wasn't even thinking about in 2016, but can't get out of my mind now. This idea that it isn't enough to stop injustice is precisely why policing alone doesn't stop crime. It may stop the crime that just happened, but policing, nearly our sole means of addressing public safety, doesn't tend the wound. In fact, it often inflames it. We can't protect or penalize our way out of people disregarding, taking advantage of, abusing, and hurting other people. No, we need to heal the roots of people's lives, of the way our society operates, so that the need for human beings to offend each other diminishes. And we need more than one tool to deal with the problems that do arise anyway, because after all, people are people. But with a healthier, more just society, there are going to be fewer wounded people, and we will have more resilience and more resources to deal with the problems that do arise. Better than compromise only happens when we believe something greater than any of us now imagines is possible, and we rely on each other unlikely allies to make it happen. Let's go back to 2016.
A couple of notes. As you are confronting these situations and you are trying to be the person who can heal the pain and not just stop the wrong, a couple of things. First of all, be smart. Pause and use your wiser self. Another thing is be safe, all right? Be safe. Maybe this isn't the time. How much can actually be taught right now? You know, do that question. And then be a team as well. You aren't alone in this. Maybe you aren't the one to speak up right now. Or maybe you need the support of others to be able to speak up and to change things, right? But don't be alone. Be a team. And some important questions there is, when are you not the person to listen? There might be situations in which you are really dangerously too vulnerable in this situation. This person does need to be listened to, but it isn't you that needs to do the listening. Who can be the listener? And in that case, where are you? In what situations are you the listener? That goes back to Care IQ. We are never only caregiver or care receiver. There might be situations in which I cannot be the listener that can be transformative, but there is a situation in which I can. And that's part of the being a team, okay? The last one is to believe, all right? Have a heart for better than compromise. Because that heart for better than compromise is contagious. It does change things. One person can infect a relationship by behaving according to its dream.
There was a French artist, Georges Rouault, who said great things with his paintings. I saw one of his works when I was in high school that infected me, I'd say cursed me, with an irrational hope in the power of being part of something bigger than myself. It pointed towards a path of the greatly underestimated power of humility and sacrifice. I've never forgotten it. It still reminds me that I want to be a game changer, not a winner. The painting is simple, black and white. Look it up. I'll attach a link to the podcast description and this episode page. But the title tells enough. It's this. The just man, like sandalwood, perfumes the blade that cuts him down. That's crazy thinking. Perfuming the blade that cuts you down, that's nothing. It changes nothing. Like a drop of water on a forest fire or a handful of sand thrown at a tidal wave. A man saying, I can't breathe, to a policeman with a knee on his neck, or Father, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing when you're hanging on a cross. It's nothing. Or maybe it's part of something too big for your or my eyes to see. Take a breath. What do you believe? Let's close with words from 2016 that I'll ask you to listen to with your ears of today.
And I really believe what we're getting at here is one articulation of what the greatest challenge of humanity is. And the Bible talks about it with this dream. It says, the power of God at work among us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. That's the dream of better than compromise. And it's calling us in. It says, don't live in your ghetto. Don't live in your aquarium. Don't live in your echo chamber. It takes the gift of the diversity of others to do it. So we have these homework practices, these questions we left each other with this each week. The first week, we asked this question, do you really value the other? Do you really value the other? Tougher question to answer than we think. Last week, our question was, are you really committed to the big win? Are you really committed to better than compromise in your relationships? The question this week, and it's your homework practice, and I invite you to spend some time with this. Are you ready to set aside your needs and your assumptions, maybe even your rights, in order to ask the other to help you understand? To truly listen to another human being so deeply like this is to give up something very, very precious. It is giving up your right to be right. It is giving up your immunity from being changed. It is giving up your guarantee that the win that you get will be the win that you had in mind when you started. It is also giving up your certainty that you will not be taken advantage of, because many times you will. But what you gain is the possibility to be able to create a life in a world that is greater than any of us has ever imagined. What you gain is hope. And that's what we invite you to. And it's something we know we can't do alone.
That's why we are Fabric. Lives woven together deeply.
It's worth keeping this conversation going. Share this podcast with a friend and find discussion resources at fabricmpls.com. You can also go to our contact page or reach out on social media to share your feedback and experiences, because Fabric isn't an organization sharing novel ideas. It's a community of people becoming more deeply woven. Thanks for being part of it.